sight on Calvary. And of course, we know in the Old Testament, 50 represents Jubilee. And so therefore, 50 days after that, the church was born on Pentecost. Since the birthday of the church, the same spirit that came against him to crucify him, to kill him, and he did give up the ghost, but it wasn't because they killed him. He gave it up. The Bible said he gave up the ghost. Nobody didn't take it. Nobody couldn't take it, but he gave up the ghost. Let me ask a question. If he gave up a ghost, what kind of ghost was it? You're answering correctly. Say it again. Holy. Holy Ghost. 50 days after. Of course, we know there for what? Those 40 days there, seeing of them, showing up on the Emmaus Road, showing up in the room there with them. And that he promised that the same spirit that he had was going to come back.
Yes, sir.
But that same spirit that set out war against him to try to take his life, but he couldn't do it. That same spirit has tried to do away with the church ever since Pentecost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tried to wipe it out. Tried to do away with it with false doctrines and false teachings. Tried to this day, trying to kill the promise. Trying to make the promises of God of none effect. But the church is a living organism in the land, and it's the strongest living organism up on earth. Hallelujah. And if the church was birthed, it had to come from something. If something's birthed, it has to come from somewhere. How many of you were born?
Amen.
You had to come from somewhere. Why? Some people can look at the parent and they can say, looked at a family and they said, I can tell where that one came from. That one's got your nose. That one's got your eyes. That one's got, but the church that was born on Pentecost came from someplace. But we didn't only come from someplace, we gone someplace. Won't you go ahead and tell somebody, say, I'm going back to where it came from. What do I mean by that? Why, we came from the Father and we're going back. Are you with? You know, it lays the foundation for something that's so prevalent today. You know, how many believes Jesus is the Word? Say that with me. Jesus is the Word. I'm wanting to share something, but I'm really wanting to take my time on this because I want you to get it. If Jesus is the Word, the Bible says in John, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was, preach with me, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God. Then there was a time that it was only Spirit. There were no cherubims. It was only God. There were no mountains. There were no hills. No bubbling brooks. No songbirds. No trees. No flowers. Just God. But this God had thoughts. How many believes God still has thoughts? This great God, Pastor James, had thoughts. What is a word? A word is a thought expressed. Are you with me? It's a thought that's expressed. Before it becomes word, it's a thought. Hallelujah. Our friends drove over from Charleston. So good to see you. They know a little bit about law. Of course, I do too. I've got stopped driving enough times to where I should know a little bit about the law. And before a word is spoken, it's a thought somewhere. Let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever spoken without thinking? I wasn't going to ask you who, but you quickly volunteered. And I mean, spoken without thinking. And have you ever beat yourself down for speaking without thinking? And why did I say that? It was a thought somewhere. I know people think this is a cop-out, but there's a few times I've said a few things, and it really wasn't my thought, and neither was it God's thought. That only leaves one other one. But that thought had to have been in him. Boy, you are listening real good right now. And just, I've used this example before. There was a minister out in one of the Midwestern states. And it was during kind of the hippie era. And there was someone that showed up in the meeting that looked like they were a leftover flower child from Woodstock. And that preacher looked back and he said, "Young man, stand up." And he did. That preacher began to give him a word. And it was a powerful word. And after the service, that preacher went back to his hotel room and he was just beating himself down. He said, "Why did I say that? That man don't even look like, appear like, he could fulfill such a word as that." You know, showing up in his, you know, attire of that era. And he was beating himself down. And in the midst of beating himself down, God said, "I put those words in your mouth." Those were my words that you spoke. So how many believe sometimes we can speak without thinking and it won't be negative? It'll be something very positive. It can be God. Have you ever thought about, I wonder how much thought Balaam's mule put into what he said to Balaam? I just don't believe that mule put much thought into that. He just, a word, before it's spoken, it's in thought form. How many believes there's songs that's been composed, words, lyrics that's been written, and they came in thought form? There's a young lady in ministry, Labriski, used to travel with her. And this lady, before she got saved, she was very strong on drugs. I may have shared this testimony through here before. But one time when she was hallucinating on drugs, and she heard this song in the spirit realm. It was in the realm of the evil spirit. She heard the song while she was high on drugs. It had never been written. But she heard this song. And later when she came to the Lord, she never forgot that experience that she had, carried away in the satanic realm. And one day she was working, living for the Lord now, and where she worked, they kept the radio going all the time. And while she was working there in this particular place, over the radio, a few years later, she heard that song. Someone had gotten a hold of it, made contact in the spirit realm, the satanic realm, and got those lyrics, those words, and began to write them. And someone, and a horrible song. And someone made big monies off of that. They tapped into the satan. It was a song that a lot of people would listen to when they were doing drugs and things. Well, if there's songs like that in the realm of the evil spirit, the dark spirit, I wonder what songs are in the Holy Ghost. Come on, said there's some new songs over in the Holy Ghost that somebody needs to get a hold of. Oh, let's say it like we mean it. There's some new songs. There's some greater messages. There's some prophecies to be uttered. There's some tongues and interpretations over in that Holy Ghost. And I'm going to reach over into that realm and get a hold of them. Mm. Oh, let's give the Lord a praise right now. Just, Holy Ghost praise. In fact, let's make it personal. Those of you that have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just lay your hand on your heart and say, there's glorious utterances in here. There's words of healing in here. There's words of victory in here. There's words that can be spoken and resulting in divine health. There's words in here. Holy Ghost breath. So a word, there was just spirit. Just spirit, no cherubims. There it is, just God. The word God itself, actually, when you really do a word study, it not just looking up the definition, but doing a word study, it really means object of worship. So this God, great desire to be worshiped. Amen. I mean, desire, plans, intentions. He's going to be worshiped. He's going to be exalted. He's going to be glorified. See, he had thoughts and a plan. Listen, now if God's unchangeable, his plans are unchangeable. God don't change his plans to suit us. Are you with me? And this God had thoughts. And a plan. There was a gentleman over in Greensboro, Jamestown, North Carolina, some years ago, that wanted to set me up in a business. I had some skills, some links to furniture market and things. And he wanted to put me in this business. But he was an architect. And this man was a master architect. He had just some of the buildings and things that he had designed. But you could look at those buildings that had been erected, commercial buildings, elaborate homes. Every one of those, Sister Catherine, started with a thought. The towers in New York that came down, they started with a thought. How many believe the church itself started with a thought? And God ain't changed his mind about it. Glory. I mean, it started with a thought. Just a thought. Glory. How many believes we've been given the mind of Christ? To gain the thoughts of God, we have to start out. You know, the Bible says, pray with understanding, pray in the Spirit, pray both ways. And sometimes to get in to exploring some of these God thoughts, we have to start by taking authority over our natural mind. Are you with me? By casting down vain imaginations, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The natural mind will say, there's no hope. There's no hope. Their illness, there's no cure for it, or their addiction. They've been in every rehab in the country, and there's no deliverance for them. That's the carnal mind. The carnal mind will say, well, I've been prayed for time and time again, and nothing has changed. But how many believes? We've got to take authority over the natural if we are going to move into the supernatural. Holy Ghost breath. How many, I don't care how blessed you are right now. How many believes God's got more for you? Whew. I'm going to say that again just in case you didn't get it. I don't care how much you're blessed right now. I don't care how much your business is prospering or how little it's prospering. In this context, I don't care how healthy you are or how unhealthy you are in this context. God's got more. And you know who he's got more for? I was praying for someone, well, actually earlier here, and I said, we pull this out of the hands of the natural kingdom into the hands of the spiritual kingdom. Listen, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent taketh it by force. How many believes there are certain medical things that, I'm not even referring to COVID right now, so don't think that. There are certain medical things that if you're not careful or cautious, it can be pulled out of your hands. Things could happen to one of your children. And it could get into the hands to where that the health of that child will be controlled by the government's will. How many has ever encountered or known a situation like that? But if we can get it into the hands of the kingdom, go, come on, say it, I'm bringing my life into the kingdom order. I'm bringing my finances into the kingdom order. Listen, now I'm still on this Pentecost, this birth of the church, but I'm really wanting to get this point across. God's mind, God's thought. If the kingdom of God suffered violence and the violent taketh them by force. Listen, when I was speaking about 50 there, how the church was birthed there at Pentecost, the real church, 50 days after the crucifixion there. Okay, Moses received the commandments. Are you with me right now? Amen. 50 days after the Passover, the church, you can say, was born 50 days after the crucifixion. Are you getting this? Moses got the commandments 50 days after Passover. Well, you can say the church was born right at 50 days after Passover. I believe this Pentecost Sunday, in this day, here in this, right here where we are, 2021, I believe this Pentecost Sunday is of great significance. I don't believe you're here by accident this morning. Glory to, listen, every time Israel, natural Israel, gets under an attack, or let me put it this way, every time a major event takes place in natural Israel, one will take place in spiritual Israel. Have you ever followed that? A major event can, look, 48, they became the new modern state over there. There was a great move of God taking place here in the Gentile church, so to speak, in the 40s there, the late 40s. A few days ago, I don't know if any of you caught it or not, but Benjamin Netanyahu's speech, and he had sent it to Hamas, and he said, "We owe you a big thank you, even though this attack's going on." He said, "Because of this, Israel has never become so united in the modern state as they are right now." He said they've become one voice, and the voice is, "We will not be defeated by our enemy." Whew! That's a major event in Israel. Well, I wonder what's taking place in spiritual Israel. Glory. Go ahead and say it. God's bringing us to one voice. One voice. Listen, there is a fullness of time. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them from the law. That Pentecost Sunday, it was the feast, those weeks of feast of weeks that was going on, that Jewish, but when that day fully came, something transpired. John the Baptist had prophesied of it at the baptism. He said, "There's one standing amongst you. I'm not worthy to even stoop down and the latch of his shoe. I'm not worthy to do." There's one. He said, "I'm baptizing you with water unto repentance, but there's one mightier than I. He's coming after me, and he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." He prophesied. Jesus confirmed the prophecy in the 14th chapter of John. We can read it there. Well, in fact, that's where my Bible is open to. Jesus, John 14, verse 25, 26. "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost." Come on and say, we need a Comforter now. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He said, this, he's confirming what John, this Holy Ghost is something greater than just tongues. Have you ever needed a comforter and the doctor could just not comfort you with all of his knowledge? Have you ever needed a comforter and there was no one? You thought, well, I can go to this one and maybe get... It makes me think of the older Brother Hagin's testimony. Did you ever hear that? Dad Hagin's, when he was this affliction on his body, and he said his grandparents was raising him and they'd call for this preacher, that preacher, the other preacher. He said every one of them would say, we'll be there to pray for him. But he said none of them would show up. He said out of all of them we asked, none would come. He said we got to where we read in the Bible, we're praising the Lord in all things. We started praising God because he wasn't coming. He said, finally, one showed up. After all those preachers promised him, one finally showed up. And Brother Higgins laying there, he can't walk and he can't talk. And that preacher looks at him and goes, my, my, my. Looks at his grandparents and says, it won't be long now. He said, I couldn't talk, but something in me was screaming, I ain't dead yet. He said, I heard him. He took my grandparents into the other room and got down and prayed for them and said, God, comfort these grandparents that's about to be bereaved over the loss of their grandson. He said, I'm in there listening to it. He said, I'd read it in the scripture. What's the things you desire when you pray? Believe you receive them. You got them. Wiseman's translation. He said, finally, I thought I'll just pray for myself. Oh, great. The Holy Ghost is wanting to comfort us. Yeah. Glory to the name of the Lord. Every once in a while I had a spell up here. It's a little bit difficult to speak in English. One of the greatest powers that came to the church on when she was born, so many people overlook this. But it was, we talk about, oh, look at the healings that took place. Look at the miracles when they came out of, have you ever just went through the book of Acts and looked when that bunch came out of the upper room? When that bunch came out of the upper room, they didn't come out to take over. God was just giving it to them. It's just left and right. I mean, when the church came out of the upper room, the church wasn't afraid of the government, but the government was afraid of the church. Yeah. Honey, listen, whoever's in office or whoever ain't in office, it ain't gonna change God's mind about his church. Amen, Brother Wiseman, that's good. Thank you, I thought so too. God had thoughts. He said, I'm going to be worshipped. And God looked down through the ages. And this was before time ever came to be. You know, it won't be long now before time will be no more. How many believe sometimes it seems like time can be an enemy? If you don't believe it, go home and look in the mirror. I I looked in the mirror the other day and I went and told Lorraine, I said, there's some old man following me every place I go. I wanted to do the mirror like this friend of ours, Sister Terry Brown, down in Georgia. I wanted to do the mirror like she done her scales. She said she got on her scales one day, and when she got off of them, she put them in the corner and gave them time out. She said, they're serving time out until they apologize to me. I wanted to do that mirror that way. Listen, God had thoughts. There ain't nothing that's taken place that's thrown God in shock. He knew it before it happened. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. You think when you stumbled and failed, it threw God in shock. You think he didn't know what Adam and Eve was going to do before they done it? He's omnipotent. He's all-knowing. Yes, sir. He's the beginning. He's the end. That makes him everything between. Hey, there's two or three scriptures in the Bible. There's one over there in Ephesians. There's one over there in Revelation. Ephesians 1, Revelation 13. Chosen with Christ in God from the foundation of the world. And referring to the great deception that will be released in the latter times. And how all that will worship that beast, whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world. Used to in church, the service was built toward an altar service. And I was listening the other day to a real good message, a real good sermon. It was so good. I mean, man, it was a kind of message that you needed to open up the floodgates for people to hit the altar. How many believes there's some saved people that wouldn't hurt them to hit the altar once in a while? Amen. And I sat and watched that, and they took the peak of that service to take up an offering. And now I'm not knocking that, but I'm certainly not condoning it either. And it made me go back in time to minister that I grew up under. And I remember him telling a group of younger ministers, he said, the anointing, he said, some of you have noticed it. It will come into the service in a powerful way, and then it will lift. And then it will come back in a powerful way, and then it will lift. He said, I usually take, this was just a well-versed man, and he said, I usually take that third impact to get people to the altar. And I started observing his meetings and his delivery, and I found that to be so. But he told us, he said, whatever people do, whatever you do at that time in the service, when the anointing is there in a powerful impact manner, he said, God will bless it and God will honor it. And this was years ago. I was like in my 30s when he said this. In fact, maybe in late 20s. And he said, and I remembered him saying, he said, some people would use that peak in the service for offering. And he said, God will bless that offering. But he said, it's just a thing with me and God. I want to get the people at the altar, or to get them praying to where their spiritual needs will be met at that time. Yes. How many believe the anointing destroys the yoke? Lift both hands and say, the anointing will destroy. Let's take another praise break here and magnify Jesus. Glory to God in the highest. Glory. Well, in this great God's thoughts, before he ever spoke a word, he had a plan. And his plan was, I will be worshiped. Oh, I will be magnified. I will be exalted. I will be adored. And this master architect, this master planner, began to form his plan, and it laid out there. He saw this month right here, May, this Sunday, 2021. He saw it back then. Now remember whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I started to say this. The services was built for this. And we had a song for every altar service. If it was, this is one that stands out right now. When someone would get saved, well, we was determined we were going to do what they were doing in heaven, and that was rejoicing. And by the time those guitar pickers got their guitars in tune, and that little old lady finally made it to the piano, and they'd start. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Well, I'll tell you, at that point, every one of us was getting saved all over again. But I started thinking about the new name. Listen, Pastor James, Pastor Carolyn. I started to say Carolyn. I'm getting y'all mixed up right now. Pastor Catherine, he knew your names then. Glory, I've got a plan. I'm writing out my plan. Brother Wiseman, are you preaching predestination? I'm preaching something bigger than that. I'm preaching the foreknowledge of God. Come on, say he had a knowledge before. He had a knowledge before this. And you think just because you stumbled a little bit, you throw God in shock and he changed his mind about you? No. If his mind changes, he changes. There has been so many people given up and said, well, I might as well forget it. I have fallen. I've stumbled. I've done this. I've done that. I've wrecked this. I've wrecked that. I guess there's no... You ain't big enough to change God's mind. If your faults and your failures are even authored by lust, then you're saying the devil is big enough to change God's mind. All I got to say about that is give me a break from stupid. That's it. Come on. Now I'm not saying go out here and live anyway either. God knew that he knows your heart. That's where it comes from. Jeremiah, before I'd done the forming, he formed him. Before you were formed, well, who formed him? Why, David put it, I was woven in that womb by the hand of the Lord. I knew you. I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. When Israel came out of Egypt and went in, when they began to settle in the land of Canaan, and they carried that Passover, they carried that feast over. They carried it on over there to Feast of Weeks, Barley Feast, and so on. It was bringing of their first fruits to the Lord. Are you with me right now? It was bringing of their first fruits. There was a gentleman that called me. He's an accountant He's got clients all the way across this nation. He lives in Miami. And he had started a second business besides his accounting firm. And he called me the first of the year. And he said, "Brother Wiseman, I've known this guy for a lot of years. It was strange how we met. Really strange. And yet it wasn't strange. It was peculiar. I was preaching in a church in Hollywood, Florida. And this guy was going through a divorce and just losing everything, his family getting split up and torn apart. And I didn't know him at the time. I'd seen him a time or two playing the drums there at the church. And he tells this testimony so dramatic. He said, "I was in that service and said, I have never in my life been in a place where I was so desperate for a word from God in all my life." And he said, "I thought, surely I'll get a word from God in this service." He said, "Brother Wiseman called everybody to the altar and they're lined up." He said, "I get up there and I'm just standing right in the middle." He said he was right in the middle. And he said, "In front of me." But he said, "Where does Brother Wiseman go to start praying for people, ministering to people?" All the way to the other end. He said, "I started ministering at the other end, coming back down toward him." I wasn't even aware of this. He was sharing the testimony some years later. He said, "I came back down to him, bypassed him, and went all the way down the other side." And he said, "I'm just standing there." And he said, I said, "God, he could have at least given me a courtesy prayer." And he went back, all the way back, and sat down on the back. He's the only one I didn't go to that was up there. And he said, "I just felt like I was the most desperate one in the congregation." He said, "My life was totally shipwrecked. But I was holding on to it." It's an Italian guy. In fact, he grew up, you know that piano player used to play for Catherine Dino? He's got a theater out at Branson. Yes. And this particular man and Dino's, both their grandparents, grandmothers were prayer warriors together up there in the Bronx or Brooklyn in New York many years ago. They were prayer partners. And he said, "I went back and sat down back," and he said, "God," he said, "if I just knew." He said, "God, if you'd just tell me," he said, "God, if you'll just speak to me that everything's all right," he said, "that'll be enough." Now he's back there, he then went back to the back. In fact, church was built kind of like this. They had a spiral wrought iron, looked like one of those fire escapes going up to the sound room. And he's sitting on the bottom step and he said, "God, this preacher could have at least offered a courtesy prayer. And God, if you just tell me everything's all right." Well, I'm up here. He said, I walked all the way around that church, come back there, and he said, I grabbed him. And I looked at him and kind of jolted him. And I looked at him. I said, "Sir, God said just now, he told me to come back here and tell you everything is all right." And just, I mean, come on, Zach. God's got some thoughts. Yeah. Glory. This has been such a beautiful spring. I've looked at the flowers and I've looked at the... I've never noticed many shades of green in all my life until this spring. And I've looked at them and I thought, you were thought in God. You're God's expression of beauty. Yes, sir. Little Rose, you're God's expression of beauty. Sharing this with LaBrice on the way up. A few years ago, Lorena bought three or four rose bushes to put out back beside the patio. Them things, has that been 10 years at least? Those roses, man, they're as big as a dinner plate. honestly, I kid you not, a big dinner plate too. And they were like a pale yellow and creamy, and it looked like they had raspberry, and just, they made you want a good parfait by looking at them. And it looked, this is the way I described it, it looked a little bit like that Sister Wiseman that took a little bit of her Jezebel paint and painted the rose. And that rose was so pretty. But we didn't realize it was a hybrid. But after all the years, it went back to its original. And now them roses ain't but about that big. And they're real deep red. And she tried to turn those roses into charismatic, but they went back to Pentecost. That's for everybody who don't like it, and the rest of you too. And so it went back to its original. Come on and say it. This church that was born in the very first century is raising up again in these latter days. Glory. In the same power that she was birthed with. Oh, glory to the name of the Lord. Are you seeing this morning? This Pentecost Sunday, it's an ordained time. God said, I've got a plan, I'm going to be worshipped. Guess what? There was an angel that was created by the name of Lucifer. And that angel said, no, I'm going to be worshipped. I'll set myself up as God. Are you with me? Yes. Trying to get the worship coming in his direction. God said, I'm going to be worshipped. I'll give birth to an organism. Every time I get on this, it makes me want to shout, happy birthday, church. Happy birthday, believers. This great organism that's in the land. Religious spirits try to martyr them all. Put them in coliseums and release lions loose on them. Tried to put them in furnaces and cook them alive. Are you hearing me? But the devil cannot stop this mighty army. Glory. Look how the devil has tried to stop you. Look how he's come against you. Come against your mind. Come against your health. Come against your finances, your family, your businesses. Oh. Somebody was telling me this morning, another diagnosis. I said, all it is just another little devil. All COVID is another little devil that medical science has put a name on, like leukemia. Like cancer, are you hearing me? Now I'm not preaching against using wisdom, don't get me wrong. But I mean, go ahead and say it, it's nothing but another devil. Now I started to say this earlier and I'm going to say it now. The greatest power, Lee, the greatest power that the church has, this came to them on Pentecost with this baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, was the power of communication. Yes, come on and check the power of communication. Glory. It came so supernatural that they said, how do we understand these men in our language? How do we understand them? God gave them a supernatural power of communication. When the church was born, God gave the church a supernatural power of communication to commune with Him in the Spirit. Glory. Come on, say it. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Spirit. Communing with God. Oh. Go ahead and take another praise break and magnify the Lord. Peter said, all right, this same promise, this is what that same Spirit that came, this promise was given unto you. Given unto you and your children, even, what's the rest of it? Even to them who are afar off. When I think about what this Pentecost Sunday really is, it makes me look back over my shoulder at them that's gone before us. Glory. We're not worshiping them. We're worshiping God. Amen. We're worshiping the one they pointed at. Amen. They may have stumbled, but they still pointed. Amen. Glory to the name of the Lord. We are a part of that very organism. Amen. That was birthed at that very hour of time. Yes, sir. Lift your hands right now and start thanking Him. Those that are here, that's a part of the music, the praise and worship team, I want you to come up across here right now and just stand with me. And come as quickly as you can. Just stand right across here. Whoa, Rabbi Shakai. Stand across here. Holy Ghost presence. Pastors, get ready. God is going to take His people. I mean, it's already started, but we're nowhere near the climax, to another level of worship. To another level of worship. Things has changed, moving deeper and deeper into God's plan. Moving deeper and deeper into that plan. It used to be just, sister, won't you come up and sing us a song? Brother, won't you come up and sing us a song tonight? Is the choir ready to sing a song? And Lord, could we ever tell some stories about that? It seemed like every guitar picker waited, he got to church to tune his guitar. Spirit done left by the time they got it tuned. Time somebody hobbled up to the piano, it was out of tune. But God's wanting to take His people into a realm of worship. Don't be surprised if some of the worship leaders step out on the platform and every one of them get carried away with singing in a different languages. Not only a new song, but a new not only a new song, but a new tongue. Glory be to God. He's going to be worshiped. Listen, true worshipers, worshiping in the Spirit and in truth. If you'll pay close attention to that scripture, you will find out you can't worship Him without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You can praise Him. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. But true worshipers must worship Him in spirit and in truth. What's that saying? The Holy Spirit, it takes the Holy Spirit to lead you into truth. Glory to the name. I don't care how pretty one can sing. I don't care how skillful they are on the instrument. They will never move into worship without the Holy Ghost power of God. Stop pinning the Holy Ghost just to tongues. I've heard people talk in a tongue that absolutely after they got through, you didn't know whether they was going to cuss you out or not. Devil can talk in tongues. Amen. Thank you. But true worshipers, I mean, God, glory, it's begun, and yet it's not there. Up in Dayton, Ohio, a few days ago, a lady up there praising God, worshiping God in song, praying like He said, sing in the Spirit and with understanding, went into that other language, and then worship. There's a place in worship the cancer can't stay.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Glory. He was really doing more than just praying. When the glory came in and filled that temple, he was worshiping. Worship. 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 Worship.
Yeah.
Worship.
Yeah.
Worship.
Yeah.
Worship.
Yeah.
Worship will bring the glory in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when the glory comes in, when the glory really comes in, feebleness cannot stay. If that bunch came out of Egypt and not one feeble one amongst them. Elders came out with the strength of youth. Weak ones came out with great strength out of Egypt. Glory to the name of the Lord. Listen, the church, not just churches, but the church is starting to get the attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. Glory.
Glory to God.
And they're not getting the attention. I'm not talking. This churches can get the attention of somebody else falling into adultery. Churches can get the attention of someone else in leadership running off with someone else's spouse. But listen, the church, come on and say it, the church.
The church.
How many of you are washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Yeah.
I ain't asking about your faults, forget it. How many's washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Yeah.
Glory.
Yeah.
Glory. I ain't studying your faults, I ain't studying mine.
Huh. Hallelujah.
Somebody wanted to confess something to me long ago. I thought, oh, no, I've got enough faults of my own I've got to contend with without listening to yours. And, but in that place of worship, in that place of worship, come here, pastors, both of you. Glory to the name of the Lord. Do you realize, and I believe you do you realize the great responsibility to carry that name, worship team, worship leaders? That's a tremendous responsibility.
Oh, yes. Yes,
glory to the name. Shelley Brim said something that ministered to me so much. She said, those that are doing praise and worship, she said, we can't stand out there and do our own thing. She said, we need to know by the Spirit the person that's bringing forth the word, because what we do will help them to bring forth the word.
Yes, sir.
Glory. Glory. So let us work to them. It's kind of like they're a John the Baptist.
Yes, sir.
Of the coming forth of the word.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
You will never be released to do your own thing.
That's right.
Of this team. Are you with labors together?
Yes.
Yes,
sir.
Yes, sir.
There is a place. There is a place that God has put you in. Glory. To create an atmosphere. Not that we sit here lesser than you. Not that. We're laborers together.
Yes, we are. Yes.
You are working with Him as you work with God.
Yes.
To bring us all in too.
Yes.
Because as you,
yes,
glory to the name of the Lord.
Yes. Yes, sir.
What is it leading others into worship? You just worshiping and others will follow.
Yes.
Glory.
Yes.
As you get free in your spirit.
Yes.
Glory. As you seek God in your calling, as you seek God, is this all right?
Yes, sir.
Glory.
Amen.
To the.
Amen.
They're standing up there working with the shepherd here. Glory. And we're working with them. What are we? Coming into that place of fullness.
Yes, sir.
Coming into that place where infirmities can no longer lay hold on our bodies. Glory.
Yes.
Where powers of poverty are bound and destroyed.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
When that bunch came out of that upper room, that day of Pentecost had fully come. That sound came from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Filled all the house there. When that great event took place and that bunch come out, look at what all took place. And one that I go to so much, I mean, we can go to Philip, the eunuch there, and him shaking Samaria. We can go to Cornelius. And we can go to Peter down there on the housetop having that vision. We can go to 3,000 souls, 5,000 added to the church. God was doing a mighty quick work.
Yes, He was.
Something happened. From then, something happened. The enemy tried to kill that organism that had been birthed.
Yeah.
Just like he wanted to kill Moses. Just like he wanted to do away with Jesus. Just like he's wanted to do away with some of you.
That's
glory.
Right. That's right. That's right. Glory.
But guess what? Like a Samson, who is shaking himself.
Yes, sir.
He couldn't see, but he looked. Looked, but couldn't see. Looked, but couldn't see. If I could just get somebody to get my hands on the pillar of this place.
Yes, sir.
Glory. Whew. These years now that I've spent in blindness. If I could just, somebody just lead me to those pillars. And he begins to flex every, he may have been blind, but he wasn't weak.
Amen.
Glory,
amen.
His strength had come back.
Sir. Yes, sir.
I said his strength had come back.
Yes.
Glory to, done more right then than he had before. Hold your hands out. Stand up, folks. You folks know what I'm saying. I know you do. I know you do. You folks know what the Spirit's saying here this morning.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Praise and worship team. There's a fire. You done great this morning. But what I really see in you, that was just a little flicker. Yet, I want to say you've done great up there. I want to say you've done tremendous. But yet, with what I see in the Spirit, that was just a little flicker, a little spark. God, I mean this prayer. I mean it. Whew. May the fire of Pentecost burn through every member of this praise and worship team. Every one of them. It may sound mean, it may sound harsh, but it's really not mean or harsh. But if there's one standing there that's not going to go the full race and meet the full challenge, God, move them.
Yes, sir.
And raise up another one.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes,
glory
sir.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Glory to the name.
Yes.
Now I want you to lift those hands. And I want you to, praise and worship team, I want you to release an utterance, a sound from your voice. It may be a groaning. It may be a word in English. But right now, just release your voice. Release a sound. Start praying. That's it. That's it. Lift your voice like a trumpet. That's it. Go ahead, go ahead. Go deeper, go deeper, go deeper. Go deeper, go deeper. Go deeper. Deeper, deeper. Lay your hands on each one of them. Lay my go ahead, stay with it, stay with it. Worship God with him. Let's lift our voice, lift your voice in praise. Worship God and receive your touch. Worship God and receive your touch. Worship God and receive your touch. Worship God and let the enemy flee. Worship God and let the enemy flee. Worship God, lift your voice.